Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello and welcome to Growing Hope. We are investing just a few moments to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. I am Katherine Lang and I am your rainbows and lollipops host because I know that a heart determined to find the rainbow will build a life full of rainbows. The other day I got that call. You know, that call that every parent dreads the moment the children begin wandering out of the nest. Our older boys had been in a car wreck. And we were completely in the dark to the how and the what and the why and everything else. All we knew was there had been a wreck. And we knew for certain that all of the boys that were in the car were being transported to the hospital by ambulance. I was content to wait out until they arrived at the hospital and we got the first report. I knew from my own experiences with the emergency room that unless there were major issues, then they would likely be released before we could even make the long trip to the hospital where they were located. My husband didn't care. He wanted to leave as soon as I hung up the phone. I began making arrangements to drive to the hospital with him, making sure that our younger son was taken care of. I did my best to find out some more information, and finally, after about a dozen phone calls, I was redirected to the ambulance service that was transporting the boys to the hospital. That was the moment I found out that one of my sons was headed to the local hospital, but the other son was being taken to a larger hospital with a better trauma unit. If the call that informed me that there had been a wreck didn't knock me off guard, the realization that one of my boys was being transported to a trauma unit, well, that did. For about 60 seconds, I couldn't breathe normally. I made a few calls and I touched base with those that I knew in the medical field. I secured my EMT friend to go to the local hospital that my older son was going to. And then I began to drive the longer trip to go see the other son. Those 60 seconds, the ones where I was overwhelmed with just dread, almost drug me into distress, that dark place that happens when I begin going through the list of what ifs and I get stuck there. I probably would have stayed there, but I began taking the actions that I could take. And with each action that I took, I breathed a little easier. I couldn't fix the situation. No matter how many phone calls I made or how many steps I took, I was not in a position to fix it. I did what I could do. And once I did what I could do, then I accepted my limits. Once I accepted my limits, then I was in a position to release the discouragement and the doubt and to dismiss distress completely. Distress will find a way in and it will do whatever it can to get its foothold in a moment. And I have to be alert and aware so that I can dismiss it. Distress is not a momentary feeling or a momentary emotion. It's prolonged dwelling in the darkness. It's a continued state of pain or calamity. Distress is ongoing. Distress and I have never had a very good relationship. Kind of makes sense, right? Because I am the Rainbows and Lollipops host. There have only been a few times that distress has managed to make its way into my life. My natural leaning towards possibility thinking helps block the distress. But being aware of distress and knowing its effects has helped me guard my heart and mind as well. One, I take action. I do something. When I do something, especially when I do something for someone else, then I avoid dwelling on what I can't do and avoid getting tangled in the what-ifs. 2, I take a moment. I take a few deep breaths, I have a good cry, or I even scream. And it can do wonders for clearing the head and regaining focus and dismissing distress. 3, I accept the limits, because there will be limits, and accepting them makes it possible for me to invest in the things that I can do. 4, I enlist others. I ask for help, or I ask for support, because when I know that I need it and I ask for it, then I can do what I can do and I can settle into the support and comfort from others for those things that I can't do on my own. And 5, I choose to deal instead of to dwell, because dwelling on the things that can't be changed or that can't be fixed, instead of looking for things that can be done, is a surefire method of dragging distress into the moment. I'm not big on dwelling, which is one of the reasons that I don't deal well with distress. I dig in and deal with the moment and with the emotions most of the time. There are those moments when I don't have the energy or the fortitude or maybe the desire to dig in. And instead, I look around and after a time, I discovered I'm covered up in distress. I'm not big on making friends with the negatives. The negatives do very little to move me forward, but they will be a big factor in pulling me down under distress. So I'm determined to keep the negatives from moving into the neighborhood. And distress will not go away on its own once it gets here. And it rarely goes away without a fight. Once distress has its claws into my life, it holds on for all it's worth. I have to be invested in making a difference and in dismissing distress. I have to be purposeful in the choices that I make so that I kick distress out of my life and I begin to breathe easier in the moments that distress was controlling. I have to make the choice to walk out in freedom and in hope if I want distress to let go and go away. I have had some encounters with distress. Few, but I have had some. There was that time that I crawled into bed and had to fight my way back out. I've talked about that before. There was that time that I was stalked, and I ended up as a witness in court against the stalker, and that court case drug out for 6 months and haunted me for years. Despite these encounters with distress, I have not allowed it to hang around for very long, once I recognized it had taken root. As soon as I see distress, I go to work to dismiss it. 1, I guard against the distress when I take action to do what I can do. When my mom passed away in 2012, I was warned by many, including my own dad, that it would eventually hit me and I would break down. But I went right to work. My dad had to go somewhere, and while he was gone, I began to clear my mom's clothing and other areas completely out so that my dad would have a fresh start when he came back. I knew that it wouldn't remove the reminder of her from the house, but I also knew that by putting the house in order, it would take some stress off my dad. Going to work helped me to not focus on the empty place that had suddenly appeared in my heart. Helping my dad allowed me to ease his pain, and that eased my pain as well. Doing for others kept hope in my life, and hope makes everything easier. 2, I guard against stress and even dismiss stress when I take a moment for myself. I am the one that found my mom. My dad had just walked by her, but between the time that he walked by her and the time I walked in the room, she'd gone. I walked outside to make the phone calls that I knew I had to make, but before doing anything, I took a moment for myself. That was the time that I really broke down and cried. After what felt like hours, but I know was moments, I closed my eyes, I took a deep breath, and I had the strength to move forward. There are still moments when her loss hits me and the tears do return, but it's brief and it's followed by the joy that comes from knowing that I will see her again. And that joy dismisses distress. 3, I guard against distress when I accept the limits. I watched as one bad decision after another bad decision led the government into a place nobody wanted to go. I listened as my friends and families broke down on social media and in gatherings. I invested some time in research and I recognized that even though I didn't agree with the decisions, there was little I could do about it. They were going to do what they wanted to do. And although the choices might have been questionable, they were still legal. And the choices were theirs to make. I accepted that there were limits to what I could do. And the moment I accepted those limits, then I was in a position to dismiss distress from being able to take hold of my life. I still wanted to make things different. I still wanted to make things better. And I took actions to change things moving forward. But I let go of fixing what wasn't mine to fix in the first place. 4, I guard against distress when I enlist others to help out. Or sometimes I enlist others to hold me up. When I got that phone call about the boys being in the wreck, and especially when I found out that they were going to separate hospitals, I asked for help immediately and without hesitation. And I asked for specific help from specific people that I felt could be trusted to help in those places and to watch out for my children. When I can trust the experience of the other person, then I can find some peace in my limited ability to do something in that area. When I can trust the responses of someone else in one area, then I can turn my attention to another area. Having others around me to help me out or to help me up can help me keep me from falling under the spell of distress. And finally, 5, I guard against distress when I make the choice to deal with something instead of dwelling in something. I'm not happy with my weight. I've felt the stares others have given me because I'm not where I know I should be. It would be easy. It would be almost expected for me to fall under the distress of the extra weight that's caused by clothes that don't fit or eyes that stare a little too long or, you know, those whispered voices you know are talking about you. I would fall under the distress if I made the choice to dwell in my condition instead of doing something about it. I knock distress loose when I take that first step into what I want to be and I stop complaining about what I want to be and I stop dwelling in my problems. I kick distress to the curb when I choose purposeful actions that move me from where I am right now into something better. When I do what I can do, that's when distress can no longer hold tight. Until I stop dwelling and I start doing, I will continue to dance with despair. The choice is mine. I have to step up. And I have to step out if I want to move away from the trap of distress. Distress is a condition, one that is lasting or drawn out. Distress is a state of pain or of grief that continues for a prolonged period. Distress will not leave on its own. Distress will not give up and go away. Distress will continue to dig in and make things more difficult and more painful than they need to be until I decide to dismiss distress. Once I make the decision that I am, then I am one step closer to loving my life and boldly pursuing why living. Once I determine that distress no longer has a right to be there, it no longer has a right to be in my life. It takes some effort and more than a little investment to live a life free from distress. Distress can be sneaky about how it slithers into a life, but once it's there, it has claws that dig down deep and don't want to let go. David shares his battle with distress throughout the Psalms. If you want to read about how to defeat distress, Just start reading in Psalms. David had some amazing highs in his life, like when he led the army to defeat the enemy and the crowds praised his accomplishment, or when he defeated Goliath, or when the king chose him to be his personal musician, or when the king chose him to marry his daughter. But David also had some pretty serious lows, like when the king honored him with his accomplishment for his accomplishments by plotting to kill him, or when the king married out David's wife to another man, or when the king was hunting David with all of the armies, or when David's son died, his firstborn son died at birth. But each and every time that David began to battle distress, he turned his eyes to heaven. He began to praise God for what God had done in his life, despite the negatives that were crushing him. And each time that David made the effort to praise God, David loosened the grip of distress just a little until finally David would be free. Praise. A remembrance of the blessings, the grace, the mercy that has been poured out over my life, that praise will push distress into the corner and will eventually dismiss distress completely. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:6 that we are to be careful for nothing. In other words, we are to worry about nothing. We are to be in distress about nothing. When something comes up, we're to take it to God in thankful prayer. Thankful prayer only happens when we focus so much on God that we break loose of the hold of distress. And when I dismiss distress in my life and from my life, then I become free to love my life. And I'm designed to love my life because I was created to be a light on the hill that reflects the glory and magnificence of God to the world. I am designed to be the salt of the earth, the seasoning that shows the gloriousness that is my God. I do that by loving my life. And I am loving my life, even when I may not like all that is going on around me. I have a vision of hope driven by my why that allows me to love my life. I speak words of possibility that help me focus on loving my life. I seek out ways and the people that will help me thrive in my why and give me the direction to love my life. I choose to live out my purposeful passion because that is definitely a reflection of me loving my life. I release the things and the situation and the people that cause distress or dejection in my life so that I can be free to love my life. Loving life is not about doing everything I want to do or getting everything I want to have, but it is about finding a way to do more than survive the journey. Loving life is about thriving no matter what may lie ahead or around me. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey to love life. I know that I am a little bolder and a little stronger for the sharing we have done. I would love to hear how you are walking out your own journey of loving life. You can share with me by emailing me at radio@katherinelang.com. And please be sure to take a moment to visit the Growing Hope website where you can download your free PDFs of ebooks that are created from the Growing Hope broadcast every week. It's www.katherinelang.com/ebooks. Also, take a moment while you're there, read some of the posts, and take a moment to comment, and let's keep this conversation going because conversation grows relationships, and we are always stronger when we're invested in relationships. I would also enjoy the opportunity to engage and connect with you on social media. You can find me all around the internet by searching for Katherine C. Lang. On Facebook, I'm the Katherine C. Lang. On Twitter, it's at Katherine C. Lang. On Google Plus, it's plus Katherine C. Lang. And on YouTube, it's again the Katherine C. Lang. You can also find me now on Pinterest and Instagram again by searching for Catherine C. Lange. If you're interested, you can listen to all the syndicated broadcasts of Growing Hope by visiting www.catherinelange.com/on-air. I am Catherine Lange, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says, or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and the walls of the world. My prayer is, and always will be, that the words I share are helping establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Remember, in all that you're doing, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Catherine Lange. Catherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Catherine's website at www.catherinelange.com. That's www.catherinelange.com. Catherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelange.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelange.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.